with like growing up, like your time at Xavier and stuff like that, and then kind of get into your college career and then getting to what you're doing now. So we'll start off with, you know, like what your early life was like growing up and stuff.
Early life was good, you know, no complaints, two parents that loved me, you know, one of four, I was the oldest, you know, it was me, my little sister, and then I had two little brothers, all athletes. My dad played ball, football, baseball, he played at Lafayette and made it, you know, to the bigs for a little bit. He played a season and a half with the Broncos before blowing his knee out. So, I mean, I was raised playing sports. You know, my dad coaching Little League and, you know, all that growing up, taking, you know, trips to AU tournaments all the time. It was just me and him. So, no complaints growing up. I had, you know, so, I mean, I happy childhood. It's great.
For sure. When did you start playing football?
I didn't start playing football until the end of middle school. My dad played ball pretty violently. He was, you know, similar positions, means a tight end or a fullback. So he used his head as a weapon. He had multiple surgeries and, you know, cracking helmets and all this and that. So he tried his best to keep me away from, I love the game. You know, he taught me about the game growing up. You know, since I was a kid, we watched college ball together, all that. But he tried his best to keep me away from it. So I didn't actually end up playing Pop Warner at all. I didn't start playing football until, I don't think till eighth grade, you know. So my freshman year at Xavier was only my second year playing football.
Wow. Well, and what was kind of some of your, what was some of your motivating factors to you want to go to Xavier?
You know, my dad could tell you better, but I mean, he told me I had some fascination with it since I don't remember it all too much, but you know, I guess me and him would go check out some of the games. When I was in elementary school, we'd go to some of the, Saturday games at Xavier, and I had some sort of fascination with it. I think, you know, big crowd, success, and, you know, just that tradition of success. I'm sure that was a big factor, you know, but I had in my head since I was 3, 4, 5 years old that I was going to, you know, I was going to go be a ball player. That was it, you know, so.
Right.
In Massachusetts, high school football, compared to the rest of the country, some places like Texas, Florida, New Jersey, California, limited options compared to some of these other states. Xavier was the spot, you know. So that was a big factor. And then I think I did one of Coach Stevenson's middle school football camps, and I was an issue. I was already, you know, going into eighth grade, 6'3", almost 200 pounds. So, I mean, Coach Stevenson's probably licking his chops a bit and had some sort of influence. But, it was a great decision. I loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. That was kind of like I wanted to go to Xavier because my dad was coaching there when I was younger. Right. And I was always around the school, and that's kind of grew up like what you said, like the fascination of Xavier and like the tradition, right, right, the crowds and everything. And this, that kind of led to me wanting to go there and everything. So,
yeah.
So who would you say was your favorite player growing up?
My favorite player growing up. I thought I was a quarterback. I love Drew Bledsoe. Just, you know, being from here, I was a big Drew Bledsoe fan. You know, when the Pats weren't winning Super Bowls yet, he was definitely one of them. And then Mike Vick was just something to watch in his prime. He was just, you know, one of a kind. But it's funny, growing up, and it, this is probably part of my dad's doing, but I mean, I had a bigger interest in baseball. You know, when I was that young, but, you know, guys like Nomar and Ramirez and all that stuff. So I was kind of in between both sports. I hadn't really hit the football thing yet, and I was playing baseball, you know, AU tournaments all summer and fall and all that. But, yeah, I thought I was going to be a quarterback. Didn't happen.
That's she, funny.
Yeah, my quarterbacks don't play defense, man. You're 6'5". You're playing D. Yeah.
Coach Renaro probably was it probably switch you right away, huh?
Sorry, I lost you for a second. Say that again.
I said Coach Renaro probably switched you right away, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah, it's funny. I actually, freshman year as a veteran, I played JV quarterback / defensive end. So that was something.
That's a weird combo to have.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, it sort of worked at JV, you know, and then, yeah, we had the talk. Me, Coach Stevenson, Coach Ferrell, yeah. Hey, CJ, you're moving to tight end, buddy. Tight end DN. No more quarterback DN. It's not happening. So
that's funny. Yeah. What about your recruiting process? What was that like?
So I was I wasn't a big, you know, five-star recruit where, you know, I had college coaches pouring in the door. You know, since my sophomore year at Severian, the, you know, Rivals and some of the online recruiting type softwares and, you know, the combine type camps, those are just starting to kind of get big. So me being the oldest child and my, obviously my father's never had any experience with that stuff, so I kind of missed that. And because I knew I had potential to go play big time ball somewhere, you know, and I didn't get my first scholarship offer until pretty late my junior year, I don't think. I got, I think Northeastern was the first one, then a handful of others followed it. Then I started getting some attention from UMass, and then Marshall's my first D1A offer, and BC Duke, and a few others. But yeah, it wasn't as exciting as you know, some of the other guys had it. You know, I did a couple of the official visits. It was, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was exciting, but at the same time, back of my head, I was, you know, a little frustrated. How do I get myself noticed? But yeah, so I had a I had a handful of schools to choose from, and at the same time, I was trying to pick between football, baseball. I was trying to see what schools would let me do both. I went somewhere going into senior year. I went to Duke for one of the football camps, and then a few weeks later I went to Duke for one of the baseball camps. So I'm kind of sweet talking both coaching staffs, trying to see if I can ride the football scholarship, but play baseball in the spring, football in the fall, and kind of miss fall ball and spring ball, which didn't happen. You know, that would have been pretty cool, but. Yeah, I couldn't swing that.
Right, right. Yeah. And a lot, you know, pretty much all those schools that you just mentioned are all very highly prestigious for academics. So how big of a role did academics play in your recruiting process? I'm sure you wouldn't have gotten those offers without your, you know, without your academic background.
Yeah, that's another one too. So Coach Stevenson, I have him at my junior at Severian. My grades were awful. I was borderline not being asked back for a sophomore year. I was in the weight room. Yeah, I was in the weight room one time. Again, in my mind, I'm a ball player. That's it. What school? I don't know, man. I'm here to play ball. So I'm in the weight room and it's just me and Coach Stevenson, and I'm hitting power cleans or something. I think I'm hot shit, and I'm power cleaning like 185 or 200 something, right? 14-year-old CJ. And Coach Stevenson, hey, come here. Coach, what's up? You know there's requirements to get into college, right? And my jaw must have hit the floor. What are you talking about? Like, there's requirements to get into school. And this year, I ain't going to cut it. You're going to have to pick up the slack. So I went home like, Dad, what? You know about this? He's like, yeah, man. What do you mean? You don't? Like, so sophomore, junior year, I worked hard to fix that. The little hole I dug myself freshman year. But, academics in university, that played a big role in where I wanted to go. And luckily for me, pretty much all the schools that we're looking at, I mean, great academic schools, right? If I was getting some of these big power conference or power five conference teams that are more known for ball than school, I'm not sure the decision I would have made, but I was fortunate enough where all of the offers I did have came from phenomenal universities. I had a couple of people in my ear looking at ball. Think of it this way. If football is taken from you, if you get hurt, if something, if this or that, pick the school that you would want to be at regardless, whether you're playing ball or not, you know? And, That played a factor for sure. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I picked Northeastern. My father's a physical therapist. I grew up working in some of his PT clinics. And I just had a fascination with the human body, how to fix it, how to make, my dad and I would train in my, our basement home gym setup since, I was 11, 12 years old. I always have this sort of fascination with how to get stronger, better, faster, all that. So Northeastern is a great PT program. And that played a big factor picking there.
Right. That's awesome.
It's also the only school that was going to let me play football and baseball. So that played a factor too.
Mm-hmm. Were you at Northeastern for 1 or 2 years before the football program?
Yeah. So my true freshman year, I had knee surgery. I took a red shirt, rehab through the season, and following the last week of the season, the AD comes in, sat the team down. Hey, boys, we're terminating the football program, and then he walked out. So I mean. Caught everybody off guard. No one expected it. I mean, it was tough for a lot of people. There were a couple of kids in my class that were preferred walk-on type guys, that worked their tail off and were promised scholarships. And, some of those guys broke down because they had family tossing dough up to help them get through a year paying, expecting their final 3-4 years to be paid for. And, those guys are shit out of luck. So, yeah, I mean, it was tough. It's, it's a difficult thing. So, kind of got to redo the recruit process again. I got to either choose, okay, stay on football scholarship and just play baseball and stay at Northeastern, or do I want to go play football? And in my gut, in my heart, I want to play football. And it's... Partway through the season, not even partway through the season, I think our opening game, we opened up at BC, against BC, and Dave Shinsky and the Eagles lit us up. I mean, it was a slaughter. You could tell that we had no right being on the field with them. It was, it embarrassed me. Coming from a school Exuberian, I wasn't used to losing, so... I'm not saying that one game made the decision for me. But you know, I want to go play football. I want to go play at a big school. So I went through the recruit process again, and fortunate enough, I hopped across town and went to BC.
Yep, that's awesome. So was that? So when you would you say that was kind of one of your initial shocks when you got to college? Is when you were at Northeastern, then BC kind of beat you guys pretty good. Was that kind of initial shock where like, damn, like this is college football, like these are some studs out here?
It's so this is more of a compliment to Coach Stevenson, Coach Trinaro, than it is an attack or an insult to any other coach or staff that I've ever experienced, right? But when I got to camp at Northeastern, I was kind of shocked at how lesser of a jump I thought it was. And that's just because the Variants ran, it's ran like a big time D1 college program. You know, there's, you know, talk to Cam Lodge. I think he had 3 or 4 football coaches and 20 guys on the team. And Ovals, and that blew my mind. At Severian, we had, you know, 5 football teams and, you know, 150 guys wanted to play football and 15, 20 coaches and assistants and off the field guys. And it's a real time program. So I expected an even bigger jump. And not that I was let down. I was like, wow, okay. I came from unbelievable high school with an unbelievable staff. That's crazy. But then the jump to BC, there was a, you know, it's a, you know, ACC D1 real sport. And not that I was shocked. I was ready, but you know, I was like, okay, I'm here. Yeah. This is competition. You know, so it was exciting. It's nerve wracking. It's all that, but you know, I love to compete. Like, One of my weaknesses is I played down to lesser competition. One of my strengths is I meet the occasion. I play up to that top competition, and you know, it was definitely a challenge, but it was a blast. Yeah, it's a great memory.
For sure.
So, what would you say is the reason that you chose BC over all the other schools you possibly could have transferred to?
So the second time around, I was really down to BC or Duke. Being from here, that played a factor. You know, my family's important to me. You know, my mother's in Newton, so it's a rock's throw away. And, you know, she's had health issues. So I want to stay close. My kid brothers at Severian are going into Severian. I wanted to be close to them. You know, family's important to me. So that was a big thing. You know, my mother went to BC when I was a newborn. The first pair of clothes put on me, they put little baby BC socks on my feet. You know, I get the same thing. It's kind of like how it was for Severian. You know, I grew up watching ball. You know, I'd go to Alumni Stadium with my dad and we'd watch BC football. And, you know, it's a dream of mine. Like, there's no other big programs anywhere in the Northeast, really. You know, so I grew up, okay, this is where I'm going to go play ball. Growing up as a kid, I'm going to go play at Severian. And I'm going to go to play BC. You know, that was my dream. So when it was put in front of me, you know, the other schools going down south, stuff like that, that was, you know, it was enticing. It was, you know, it was exciting. I went and did a few of those camps, a few of the other schools in North Carolina, UNC, Wake Forest, stuff like that, a bunch of the ACC schools, but just something pulled me to BC, you know, and chose to go there.
What was during your time at BC, what would you say your favorite moment or memory is while you were there?
Favorite memory at BC? I tell people this all the time. I tell my high school athletes and even some of my college athletes, like, what I miss most about football is the locker room. Like, that camaraderie, you know, being with you guys. You know, you're together 24 hours a day. You live together, you eat together, you play ball together, you have meets together, you're in the locker room together, that's it. You go out together, everything. So, like, and even talking to the pro guys, it's not like that as much as in the NFL. There's something special about your time college football. Like, that bond you have with your 80, 85, you know, those are your brothers. And you know, you got each other's back and you have, you know, yeah, of course there's issues. And how can't there be with that many people with that much, you know, type A alpha personalities in, you know, one spot for that much time? But, you know, that brotherhood is, it's something special. Even, you know, guys in the league, they have families, they got kids, it's a job, you know. Of course there's groups of guys that love each other and they're all teammates and they still got that bond, but it's different in college football. It's something really special. So that's not one specific memory, but that's what I hold on to. That's my favorite thing about college football, and that's what I miss most about BC. Thinking about one specific memory. See, every time I scored a touchdown, we lost. So nothing, like, you know, for whatever reason, man, I was bad luck. Anytime I got in the end zone, we lose. So, you know, just that. You know what? My first bowl game, which, you know, unfortunately we lost. We played Colin Kaepernick when he was at Nevada with that nation-leading offense. We had one of the nation's defenses, and we played at in San Fran at AT&T Park. That was pretty cool. You know, our locker room was in the home team's locker room. Barry Bonds had his 14 lockers all lined up, you know. So just that whole experience, you know, flying out for the week and, you know, doing stuff, same thing, going out with you guys and getting ready for the game, but, you know, just all being together and prepping for that game, and just the whole atmosphere and experience of it was unbelievable. You know, I'm an 18 or 19 year old kid, and like that really wowed me. That was awesome. You know?
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So next, we're gonna go more into like the business side of things that you're doing currently and training athletes. So the first question is, what made you open your facility, and can you tell us a little about your gym and how it works?
Sure. So what made me go solo is, so unfortunately with the fitness industry, in the science world, fitness and health and fitness isn't taken all that seriously. You know, they kind of looked at it as like the joke in the science world. And it's unfortunate because we can do a lot of things that nobody else can do for athletes. And, you know, I have plenty of personal training clients that they're some of my favorite people to train. You know, it's just mentally, physically, emotionally, there's a lot of things you can do for people, but unfortunately, it's pretty low standards to become, you know, a trainer or a strength coach, whatever you want to call yourself. And, you know, it's, there's a lot of misinformation. That's something that, you know, I harp on a lot. My athletes tell you the you know, Instagram and social media, that's there's a ton of great things about it. You know, me and you got connected kind of through Instagram, right?
Right.
You know, that's great, but there's so much information. And how is, you know, some 14, 15 year old kid that just wants to get better but doesn't have the means to do it, or, you know, doesn't have anybody to lead him, so what's he going to do? He's going to hop on Instagram, he's going to type in football specific training. He's going to see guys bouncing up and down on a BOSU ball with one leg, with an eye patch on, following a laser with the other eye, catching 14 different objects, you know, while someone's throwing something else at him, right? And that's kind of what it's turned into in some ways is, you know, a lot of these people trying to compete with each other to get, you know, the coolest looking video and this and that. And it's, yeah, I'm and sometimes these, the people doing it, they don't know any better. And there's not like a better system in educating strength coaches and trainers. There's plenty of education out there. You know, there's great textbooks, there's great certifications, there's great mentors out there. But at the same time, there's an abundance of information. And it's really tough for a kid with no background, no knowledge in strength conditioning, physiology, to kind of decipher what's good, what's not, right? And everybody wants to do what, you know, the pros are doing. And sometimes the pros, they're unbelievable ball players and they can do things on the field that nobody else can. But that doesn't give them the knowledge base for strength conditioning and, you know, physiology and biomechanics. So if someone sees a pro guy doing it, they want to do it, right? So I've had experiences with unbelievable strength coaches, you know, Al Finau being at the top of that list. That man he's a giant influence on, you know, my whole philosophy on training and just sparking my interest in it, right? You know, but I mean, there's a million other guys I can name. But at the same time, I had plenty of experiences with, I think we went through 4 or 5 strength coaches at my time at BC. There was a couple of intern guys and we had a head coach change. So staff was going in and out, but I had occasions where some private and some team strength coaches, there were things that would happen where, you know, it either negatively affected my performance or it led to not injury, but there's things where in my head at that time, things could have been better. So that kind of just ignited the flame. I wanted to go out and help athletes just be their best, you know? And, you know, starting into that, I definitely had an ego going into it. Oh, I can do this better than anybody else can. I know everything. I didn't have a fucking clue, right? But I figured it out, you know? I use myself as a guinea pig a lot of times, but I still do that. When I'm adding a new kind of tweak on some method or principle I'm doing, I play with it on myself, you know, but I guess it is a little egotistical to think, but I want to run my system, and it's my service. If it's going to be in my name, I want it to be my product, right? My athletes, and I feel that. You know, coaching, including strength coaches, it's an art and a science, right? If it was just science, it'd be a breeze. You print out the template, boom. Guys, you go do this and you're going to be, you know, you're going to shave 0.3 seconds, throw 100 pounds up on your squat in the next 4 weeks because, boom, there it is. There's a blueprint, but it's not how it works. You know, you got to feel, you know, and a big part of it is mental, emotional too with you guys. You got to understand how guys respond to certain cues and certain methods of coaching and how to get people fired up and how to get them to buy into a program and how to get them to, you know, those more introverted guys, how to get them to peel those layers back a little bit. And that's a huge part of it. So, you know, but I'm in an awesome spot right now. Hex Health and Fitness in Needham on Highland Ave, myself, Mike Campanella, and a great crew of a great team of trainers and coaches and PTs and all of that, and great chemistry, great facility, and you know, everybody there knows what they're doing. I for the most part, I work with athletes mostly, and you know, our PT does as well. Mike does a little bit as well. But it's we got, you know, beautiful brand new, opened up just over a year ago. You know, top of line equipment. We got stripped turf inside for the sled work and plyo and agility work, all that. You know, it's a great space. So I'm loving where I'm at now, and you know, we're doing a great job putting out a good service for our clients and our athletes.
Yeah, for sure. Love the work that you guys do. Yeah. So what part of training do you feel like football players even always kind of underappreciate?
Football players, but any athlete, right? Especially high school, college guys, the general stuff, the basics, like the foundation of the pyramid. If you look at training as like a pyramid, the bigger that foundation, the bigger the foundation, the taller the pyramid's gonna be. But it takes time, and you gotta master those basics first. If you can't develop those basic movement patterns, squat, hinge, press, pull, right, carry. Those are huge. Those are so important. If you can't get a basic level of general fitness, right? Just that aerobic base. Even football guys need aerobic base, because it's an alactic sport, right? It's go, 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 5-6 seconds, boom, all out, 30, 40 seconds off. And that's on repeat, right? So it's football's entirely alactic. Quick. And a little time and long recovery time, right? But the bigger your aerobic capacity is, the quicker you're gonna recover in between snaps, in between series, in between games, practice, all that, training sessions. So it helps you tolerate higher intensities of training, higher volumes of training, which is huge. But everybody wants to do the cool stuff, the advanced stuff, the oscillatories and, you know, the fancy equipment and this and that and you know, everything they see, and that stuff's great, you know. And I use a ton of these techniques, French contrast method, you know, and oscillatories and you know, potentiation clusters, all this stuff, and super advanced methods, and they're for the right athlete. But most people, and they're going to get you can take a new athlete, you can have them go ride a bike for 20 minutes a day and their squat will go up, because any sort of training is going to make them better because they've had none before. But what's going to happen is you're going to desensitize these athletes to these more advanced methods. So instead, master the basics. You're going to be bulletproof for it. You know, you're going to get strong, you're going to get robust and you know, not durable, anti-fragile, right? So you're not going to be hurt. You're going to get amazing results. And then when you're ready and you're getting to that intermediate or more of an advanced level, then you implement those advanced methods, and now they're going to have a giant effect. It's like starting all over again, right? But definitely the basics.
I'd say I've noticed that too, with just like a lot of like the on-field training we do, is that there's not an appreciation in the basics, like you were saying. Everyone wants to do extremely flashy stuff and all that, but
you know, there's nothing. It is. Yeah. Sometimes the basics are boring, but it's gonna get you where you need to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
And then the final question I believe we have is, do you have any advice for young athletes in general?
Yeah, do what you love. Like, so young athletes, like youth athletes, I tell this to parents all the time, don't specialize your kids too young, right? The way I explain it, right, we want to expand their athletic bandwidth. We want to be able to give their brain as much information as they can possibly have. So if you see it a lot with golf, soccer, hockey, tennis, sports like that, but even football is one of them too. Where you're doing the same biomechanics, the same energy systems, the same movements, and it's going to really limit your athlete. So physically, you're limiting their potential and their ability, because they're not able to access new information, and you want that. That way, you know, instead of having two options in a situation, game situation, kid has 3, 4, 5 options. you know, a whole array of options. But the other thing is, kids that young, when you got them playing, you know, hockey and only hockey, or you know, soccer and only soccer, a lot of times those kids get burnt down. They hate it, right?
Right.
They should be passion. And team sports are huge for kids, right? They learn how to handle disappointment, loss, you know, and then at the same time, responsibility, commitment, you know, all that sort of stuff. A ton of life lessons and how to work as a team and you know, stuff like that. But the other thing, they should love it. They should be excited. They should have a passion for it, because if they're not passionate about it, they're never going to go anywhere. You know, so that's going to limit them too. Let them try as many things as they can, and they'll grow into their position. You can't take a kid that's 12, 13 years old, or you know, even younger, that hasn't really hit puberty yet, and tell them, okay, this is your sport. Because what if that kid hits, you know, 6-8 inch growth spurt and puts on 80 pounds? You know, that kid's definitely not going to be a soccer player, right? But yeah, definitely go do as many things as you can, find what you love and do it. You know, I mean, that's what I did, opening my gym and doing what I do. I love going to work every day. I get to go be with my athletes and you know, get them right. And I've evolved doing it. It's a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I think that's definitely great advice. Yeah, for sure. Cause I feel like I've been doing the same thing, like with QB Velocity. Like I've been doing what I love. And again, like what you just said, it's fun to go to work. That's how I feel.
Right.
It is for us, you know.
Absolutely.